Got a little bone to pick with
Studio.
The programming department.
Oh, yeah.
Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Now we are steamrolling into the final hour of our broadcast wake. Is Aaron still in the studio there?
Aaron is still in the studio, rocking out.
So, how many of these sea creatures were cooked to death?
Yeah, the estimate, according to this zoology professor, is a billion. All the way up from, like, Alaska down to Washington.
Well, I saw even into California.
Yeah, California.
It goes
too.
From the Salish Sea. But a billion?
A lot.
Where do they get that?
So I was actually listening to the full interview, and the way he estimates it is he looks at like the number of mussels you could cook on a stovetop, for instance, and he multiplies your stovetop by however many stoves you could fit in that that great big area of sea life, and he points it at a billion. Because when he walked to the sea, he saw all these, unfortunately, it must have been just a morbid sight, but all just these cooked open, you know, sea creatures, their shells just baked alive.
I don't know how to tell the difference between a cooked or a raw sea creature or uncooked.
I think they have a sort of tint to them. I don't know, Dory. I don't know.
They pop open. Guys.
They do pop open though. Yeah,
the shell opens up
once they cook. They open. Yeah,
no, they pop open. Like the mussels have their shells locked shut when they cook. They pop open.
I've seen that on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, I think.
Right.
But I don't eat the seafood, you know. Although I'm going to have to.
I don't either, actually.
Well, I mean, is this going to be a problem because I'm going out? Do the crab feed off of any of these mussels? Do we know, Aaron?
I don't know. I just had some crab last weekend, though. That was very good.
No, I'm going crabbing with Tom Nelson next Friday.
Oh.
And I want to make sure that the food source... But I don't know what the crab eat. I mean, I know that they...
Please look it up.
I know that they put a turkey leg down in the crab pots, and then they can go after the turkey leg, and then they get trapped inside the crab pot.
According to Google, right. They will eat just about anything. Shrimp, brittle stars, sponges, worms, small fish, and small-shelled creatures, scallops, mussels.
There you go.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say anything about turkey legs?
I don't think turkey legs are native to the ocean.
Everyone I know who goes crabbing uses turkey legs. That's all I'm saying.
Huh.
Yeah. But
that's not what we use, though.
What do you use?
Fish. Other fish. Fish.
Here's what I think would be the most humane. Because once the crab climbs into the crab pot, it's like the Roach Motel. They can check in, but they can never leave. Or is that Hotel California? Anyway, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But anyway, once they check in, they can never leave. So then they're just trapped on top of, and they're crawling all over each other, these poor crabs. And I think that once they go into the crab pot, that we should mercifully put them to death so they don't slowly, drown and climb all over each other. Now, do they drown?
Do they need air to breathe? Their little buddies wouldn't jump in the cage if there was a bunch of dead guys in there.
Yeah, they do. The cages are full.
I know, but that's because they're alive. I don't. If you had a bunch of dead crab in there, I don't know if that live crab would want to come join the dead. I don't know.
Aaron, would you check and see if crabs need air to breathe?
I don't think they live in the water. I don't think,
no,
they're fine.
Where are they getting their air?
They climb up on the beach
to the top and breathe.
Well, maybe they're like those turtles. Turtles need air, but then they can go down for hours at a time.
No. Okay, the crab that you catch on a boat, do you see those suckers running around the beach much? No. They live in the water.
So crabs don't need air to breathe?
No.
That's what you're telling me.
Yes.
Yeah. I still think we should find a way to kill them more quickly when they enter the cage. Not just let them, you know,
wait. You'd only be able to poison them. That's the only
way. No, no, I have an idea. I have an idea. I've seen what your cat Brooks has done to your arm with his sharp claws. Here's what I suggest. I'm going to invent like a cross between scuba and snorkeling gear. It's going to be snuba for kitties. And we'll put a kitty with snuba gear down in the crab pot, and then the crab will think it's coming after the cat, but the cat, with a fresh supply of air being pumped down to it, could just swing its claw and
anything that's going to get through the shell? Like, they're made of shells. Well, for
cut
just
through
that
your
reason.
Cut through the skin on your arm, and that's kind of leathery.
They'd have to know their secret spot on the bottom of the crab on their bellies.
I don't know what their secret spot. Okay. All right. Do we confirm the crabs breathe there? Or don't
crabs
breathe
have
there?
Gills.
they're
fine. Yeah, they're fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seriously, do you see crabs swimming in water up to get air on the surface? No. Give me a break.
I've seen turtles do that.
Silliness. Yeah. Well, yeah. You've seen turtles because the turtles do that.
Right. You know who else does that? Dolphins. I don't see dolphins flipping around on the beach, but they live in the ocean, but they need air. Just like whales, the magical, mystical creatures of the sea.
You have not seen a crab do that because they don't do that.
But I've never seen a whale or a dolphin do it either.
Yes, you have.
I've seen a whale or a dolphin on a beach. That's what you're telling me. Flopping around
on
a beach.
No, not on the beach because they don't do that.
They need air. They don't have gills.
They go up in the water and they go up to the surface of the water. These are things that you've seen because they happen. You've never seen a crab breathe because they don't breathe. They can walk on the beach, I suppose.
Dolphins and whales don't have gills, right? But they don't go up on the beach either.
Uh-huh.
So there's a variety of creatures that are confined to the sea, some of which have gills and some of which do not. That's my only point.
Okay, I know, but if you just have a crab running around the beach without access to water, it dies. So it's because it doesn't breathe. It needs water.
Yeah, and another thing about, by the way, dolphins, and like they have lungs, right? So you have to keep that in mind, too. They're a little bit different anatomy between our, you know, mammals and the... crustaceans? That's stupid, right? They're not crustaceans.
Look, crabs are crustaceans.
Okay, thank you. I was second-guessing myself.
Yeah.
But thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. People are going to probably fight us on that. They breathe underwater. We know they breathe, but they take oxygen from the water. That's how they work.
Like fishies, but not like whales and
dolphins.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. All right. But I've seen crab running across a beach. That point is silly that you're just making now.
No.
If you go to any beach at low tide and you flip over a big rock, the crab and runs sideways and has its little little clampers.
That's right. It can survive out of water for a little bit. Yes.
Yeah, and they run sideways and they're flashing their little pinchers at you
to let you know
that if you try to pick them up, they'll latch onto your finger. And those little ones that are under the rocks on the beach, they're not going to do any harm. But the ones that are in the crab pots, they can take off your finger.
That's correct. But the little ones, they're running to try to get back to water because when you lift up a rock, there's water under there. So they're living in the water under the rocks. And then you lift it up and they're running to get back to water because they can't survive.
This is really hurting my head.
I know. Well, why don't you just start this interview? It's going to be fun.
Okay, I will.
We have some money on the line. That's going to be much more exciting than us.
Okay. All right. I'll talk about some other scientific phenomena here. Okay, let me get into the big lead here.
The big lead. Dory Monson show exclusive.
So when I see one major media outlet say the exact opposite of a scientist who I trust, well, I got to get to the bottom of all of this. And so... let me welcome to the show Cliff Mass. He's a professor of atmospheric science at the University of Washington. Joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hello, sir. Well, when we had our record heat a few days ago, I turned to our friend Cliff Mass, University of Washington, professor of atmospheric science. And Cliff told us that if global warming played any role, it was minimal because temperatures have gone up about 1 degree over 70 years. These were temperatures 40, 45 degrees above normal. So if anything, climate change contributed to about 1 degree out of this record heat. Well, imagine my shock, surprise, and awe when I saw the Seattle Times a couple days ago and their headline read, "Without climate change, record Pacific Northwest heat wave would have been near impossible, researchers say." So I don't know who to believe, Seattle Times or Cliff Mass. I doubt if the Times will come on with me. So I got Cliff Mass on to talk about this. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so the Seattle Times is directly contradicted because 2 days prior to their story on the Cliff Mass weather blog, you asked if global warming was the cause of the great heat wave, and you said science says no. So here you're telling us no, the Seattle Times is telling us yes. What are we to make of all this?
Well, you know, you got to look for where the Seattle Times got this information. Basically, a group of people got together and put together very rapidly this report over a few days. And it's basically a political report. And in fact, it gives all kinds of advice about global warming, what people must do.
Right.
But if you read the report itself, which I did in detail, it's essentially flawed. And in fact, it's not even consistent internally. The headline says, oh, this thing could never have happened without global warming. Then you read inside the report, you say, they say, well, it could have happened by random chance. It could have happened by natural processes. And then they talk in the report. They say, well, you know, maybe global warming added 2 degrees centigrade to it, which, I mean, this anomaly, the difference from normal is like 20 degrees. So even if you read the report, it's not even supportive of the headline. So it's all kind of funny business, and it's kind
really
of unfortunate.
Is. Well, and you think that something like science and meteorology is a science. You would think that something like science should have some element of objectivity, that there shouldn't be a lot of room to play around. And I know it's an imperfect art within a science, but you and the Times have reached 180-degree different conclusions on this. But you're telling me it's because after reading their source material, their source is flawed.
And it's not even peer-reviewed. So basically, some individuals threw together very quickly, and I know some of the people, quite frankly, and they just threw this report together with a big headline. It has not been through scientific peer review, which is crucial. So this is not like published work. And I can tell you, as someone who does a lot of reviews, this could never be published. It's so terribly flawed, it would never get through the peer review process. So this is not some kind of accepted science. This is some people putting together basically a political document and then throwing it out there. And the media, which had a certain angle they wanted to push, headline it without even talking about any of the problems with this report.
What I found interesting was even within the story, it suggested what you just said. And they talked to Geert Jan van Oldenburg of the Royal Netherlands Meteorological Institute. And he said there were two possibilities. A series of improbable variables aligned to send temperatures soaring, which is essentially what you told me had happened. But then he also said the second possibility is that the Earth has crossed a threshold that makes these heat waves suddenly more likely. So even though the report seemed to leave open the two viewpoints that you've mentioned and that the Seattle Times headline mentions, they headlined only one side of the story, and they buried the side of the story that was consistent with what you were saying.
And it's even worse than that. If you read the report, they admit that the results of the best climate models don't support that second contention that this is some kind of climate change thing. So they even admitted that the best models we have don't even support that hypothesis. So it's just such poor work. And the fact that this is being headlined by the Seattle Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and others just shows you how bad things are right now in terms of letting the public get the information that they can rely on.
Well, if you print a headline that only gives one side of a story that clearly has two sides or two possibilities for, you know, why this happened, you're putting clicks above journalism. And at that point, journalism just starts to vaporize. If, you know, and I know the Seattle Times having lots of trouble, and I know that, you know, financially they're struggling, and I suppose we're all going to die because of climate change is a sexier headline than this probably won't happen again in our lifetime. But what does this tell us about journalism if they would rather pursue clicks than be journalistically accurate?
Well, it tells us something about journalism, but it also talks about how science is being communicated. So, unfortunately, a lot of the major media now have basically taken on one viewpoint, and they reject science, essentially. Science is all about a tension between different viewpoints. That's how science works.
Sure.
You have people with different viewpoints, and what you do is you debate it using the best observational information, the best theory and models to try to reach the truth. You don't say, this is the truth, and then reject anybody with a different viewpoint. That is very much anti-science. And unfortunately, a lot of the major media, like the Seattle Times, have gone that direction.
Yeah. And what's interesting to me is Jay Inslee is always crowing. And the Seattle Times are very much politically aligned with Jay Inslee. And Jay Inslee just ad nauseum says, we are the party of science. And then he is spewing stuff that has zero scientific merit on a regular basis. And I know the Seattle Times would like to believe that they are the media outlet of science. But I'll put my scientific track record up against theirs any day and feel very comfortable with it.
Well, in terms of Governor Inslee, he even made a statement that he was expecting global warming to produce a temperature not of 108, but of 130.
Yeah.
And it's just outrageous stuff that has no basis in science.
Right, yeah. He actually said that to the Seattle Times a week or so ago.
He's actually quoted in talking about a temperature of 130 degrees.
Right. And the Seattle Times printed that without any disclaimer that there is not one model anywhere that suggests there's a one in a million chance of it ever getting to 130 degrees. They just let his lie go completely unchallenged and unchecked. That's ridiculous.
And there's real impact of this kind of exaggeration. First, it makes people fearful. People are worried, you know, in their personal lives about these end of the world type things. I get calls from people who are terribly fearful. You know, one woman her mother is sick and living in California. She'd like to move down there with her kids to be near her mother, but she's afraid because of climate change. So things like that, people are actually changing their lifestyle and dealing with their families because they're so fearful about climate change. Also, then society doesn't do what it needs to do to protect itself against real threats, like the wildfires. Instead of blaming carbon dioxide, they should blame the mismanagement of the forest and do something about it. But if you can blame global warming, you don't do what has to be done to protect people.
Exactly. Well, and it's affecting me in my life personally because since the seas are going to rise, Cliff, I've decided I'm not going to have any more kids now. No more. I'm making the public proclamation right now. Because of what's going to happen to the planet, I will not have any more kids. Of course, the vasectomy that I got 25 years ago might play a role in that somehow.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay, Cliff, it's good talking with you.
Good talking to you, Mark.
Okay, thank you. Cliff Mass, professor of atmospheric science at the University of Washington, up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
You know what? I don't have time for this because I spent so much time talking crabs. One of my favorite radio stations when I was a kid in Seattle, by the way, KRAB. They were crazy. They were wacky. Okay, no, look, let's just make that your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
There actually was a KRAD radio, and they actually were wacky. Okay, coming up next, our friend Jason Rantz. He's giving a big speech this weekend. Where? Why? Let's find out together right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Spoken. You want this show to be Crab Talk from 2 to 2:30 every Friday. So I'm going to think about that. I'm going to find out how many more fun facts I can learn about crabs. And if I have enough to fill a half hour once a week, then so be it. But I cannot hold this particular ocean of public opinion back with a broom. So we'll consider Crab Talk. Every Friday, 2 to 2:30, here on the Dory Monson Show. Monster ratings if we did that. I'll tell you, monster ratings. Okay, I've got a friend on the line here. Jason Rantz, you see him on Fox News. You can also hear his show every afternoon on our sister station, 770 KTTH. And Jason is at CPAC. No, he's attending CPAC, but he's speaking at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee. Jason joins us. Where are you, Dallas?
I'm in Dallas, yeah. It's happening in Dallas. You can't cancel Texas.
Didn't they just have a CPAC a few months ago?
They did. So the last one was such a huge success. There was such a demand that they decided to do another large one. They usually do these smaller regional events, but they chose to do another really large one. Former President Trump will be here. Ben Carson, lots of Kristi Noem, Don Trump Jr. So a lot of big named guests will be here over the next couple of days.
Now, both you and I have covered political conventions, so some at the same time. And so that's my point of view, is you just have tables lined with radio stations from all over the country, and it's kind of a cattle call as guests start walking through the area. Is it somewhat similar there at CPAC?
Very similar. Not to brag, but I've got to the point where now we can just book it and they'll come directly to us instead of having to like, hey, Senator, can you come chat with us over here? We're Jason. So that's good. Let's all thank Fox News for that. So it's a little bit easier than it has been in the past. But I mean, people wandering by, you just see just like vultures, producers going to some of the big name guests. And usually the bigger name people, they're going to a very specific place. This is very funny to see the awkward turning down of these interview requests.
Yeah, yeah. So you are speaking tomorrow, and what is the topic of your speech?
Yeah, so I'm speaking tomorrow on the First Amendment, which is the most general and vague topic ever. So your topic is going to be the First Amendment. What about the First Amendment? The First Amendment.
Yeah,
okay,
just run with it.
So I'll be doing a bigger sort of picture look at cancel culture and how it works, and how we're starting to see this shift away from just purely canceling speech or trying to silence opposition into indoctrination. Despite what Chris Rakedal told you yesterday, critical race theory very much is being taught in schools. Yes. And I would argue, and will argue tomorrow, that the purpose of this is to indoctrinate, because you know what? It turns out it's much easier to just indoctrinate children into a worldview rather than just silencing them once they've already established their thoughts.
Right.
And so that's the other secondary strategy that I think is starting to be rolled out right now.
Well, and with the cancel culture, I think there are a lot of misconceptions, because the First Amendment means the government cannot prohibit you or I from going out on the street corner in the public square and yelling whatever we want. Our employers can. They can temper us. They can tell us what they will and will not accept because they own the radio station as a private entity. I think a lot of people still cannot make that distinction between government cannot abridge our free speech, but certainly your employer can.
Yes, you're 100% correct. I would go one step further and say cancel culture is not even just a First Amendment issue in any traditional way. When folks talk about cancel culture, what we're talking about is a mainstream position that is getting bullied into silence by people who have political power. And right now, the left has a lot of political power, and they are taking disingenuous stances like the Lincoln Project this week did against Toyota. Toyota's PAC was donating to almost an equal amount of Democrats and Republicans, but some of the Republicans were some of the ones who raised their hand and had objections to this last election. And so Lincoln Project goes out there and they are putting all of this pressure on Toyota, calling them white nationalists because they're supporting white nationalism in their donations to get them to stop spending that money. That is a form of cancel culture. We've seen it with conservative actors, how few of them there are, getting silenced because of mainstream positions. No one is taking a position that there shouldn't be a consequence for despicable and disgusting and even controversial positions. But that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about just regular mainstream positions trying to be silenced.
Yeah, and there certainly are ways to do that that are within the confines of the Constitution. You know, I have my own personal experience where there are powerful people and forces that tried to cancel me last fall. But my listeners and my sponsors, they stepped up huge. And there were free market forces that would not tolerate me being canceled. I'll be forever grateful and humbled by that. But we don't always need the Constitution to protect our rights, because there are private free market forces that also can help balance the scales a bit.
100%. And I think that's what people need to realize, is that we have so much more power than sometimes we're willing to acknowledge. And sometimes it means the best way to ensure that speech isn't silenced is to amplify the speech, right? So when you do a segment that's particularly strong on a one particular policy that you're trying to get passed, well, that's on the listeners then to get the podcast and then post it online. It's really sometimes as simple as that. Yes, sometimes it can be self-serving when we say that, but that's really how we can overcome what folks are trying to do. The reason why they're silencing us, or trying to, is because they know that our arguments can win.
So you're giving your speech tomorrow, and is there an overall theme that they're trying? Because I know that the conservatives are very optimistic about next year's midterms, about getting back the House, maybe getting back the Senate. I know that there must be lots of optimism right now, especially after this disastrous week for Joe Biden. What a nightmarish week our president has had.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to say that many, many, many times over the course of the next couple years. So the main theme for the parts of the CPAC conference that I'm going to be participating on is the importance of the First Amendment and why it's our First Amendment and not our second, third, or fourth. So it's all about the protections of the press, protection of your ability to hold religious perspectives and do so without harming other people. So it is sort of that big picture. And of course, the name of CPAC is CPAC Uncanceled. So we're really leaning into that messaging.
Got it. All right. I know some of the cable networks cover this thing. Is your speech going to be on live tomorrow anywhere?
It'll definitely be streaming on Fox Nation. So if you don't have that, you can subscribe. It's for free for the next 7 days. Here's a little hack. Put in the code CPAC and you get 30 days free. I just told you that. And I'm not supposed to do that because it's only for people here, but I did it anyway.
All right. Okay. I won't tell us all. It'll be your and my little secret. Okay. All right, Jason, I'll be watching. Go knock him dead.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you, Jason Rantz from our sister station, 770 KTTH, speaking at CPAC tomorrow in Dallas. All right, lots more to come. Send me your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. And we got our favorite sound bites of the entire week coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a week. All right, and this is the time when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
All right, so let's start at Disneyland, where they have gone full on woke. And that's because a couple of years ago, they would do the fireworks show. And I always got excited about the Disney fireworks show because I could see it from the backyard of my Aunt Luella and Uncle Red, who lived in Garden Grove, California. So it was very exciting to be able to see the Disney fireworks. But up until a couple of years ago, here's how they would introduce the fireworks show at Disneyland.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dreamers of all ages. In just a few minutes, the Magic Kingdom invites you to enjoy our nighttime spectacular, Happily Ever After.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dreamers of all ages. Well, now it's 2021, and there ain't no more ladies, there ain't no more gentlemen, there ain't no more boys, there ain't no more girls. We gotta make everything gender neutral. Even Disneyland.
Good evening, dreamers of all ages. In just a few minutes, the Magic Kingdom invites you to enjoy our nighttime spectacular, Happily Ever After.
They had to take out ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, because Disney had to prove how woke they are. Also, in our awesome audio, Joe Biden has had a horrible week. This isn't a political game anymore. Joe Biden has clear signs of cognitive disability, of dementia. And it was on full display this week. Like when he was asked about taking out, you know, the hackers taking out more American companies, and he tried pulling out some notes that his staff had written, but he just couldn't do it.
Yeah. With the most recent hack by the Russians, would you say that this means
we're not
that...
sure it's the Russians?
Okay,
I got a brief as I was on the plane. That's why I was late getting off the plane.
Okay, you notice that? That's important. I got a brief when I was on the plane. That's why I was late. So he just got briefed moments ago.
I got a brief and
configuration.
All right. He's looking for his note.
Would you like your receipt?
Do you know who it might be, sir?
I'll be in better shape to talk to you about it.
He just got briefed.
Right.
He has no idea.
I'll tell you what they sent me. Okay.
Joe?
The idea, first of all, we're not sure who it is for sure.
He finally pulled out the notes that they wrote out for him. But it was even worse yesterday when he simply lied. He said he was for taking out Osama bin Laden, but that was after a 5-second absolute brain freeze where he had no idea what he was going to or supposed to say next.
We went for two reasons. One, to bring Osama bin Laden to the gates of hell.
You brought him to the gates of hell, huh? But it's funny because a couple of years ago, Joe Biden was against the raid that took out Osama bin Laden. He very clearly said that. So now he claimed, this is what he said back in 2012.
That I have to make the decision.
Side.
He said, I have to make the decision. What is your opinion? He started the National Security Advisor, the Secretary of State, and he ended with me.
And he said, do not take out bin Laden. Then yesterday, he does a 180 on it. Then you have Jay Inslee, who has his own special set of challenges. Jay Inslee. He says that when Brandi Cruz asked him, is it time to let go of those emergency powers you've had for the last year and a half?
We will not allow the virus to win the Super Bowl.
We ought to win the Super Bowl, which means to keep people from being infected.
Okay, so that's why he has the emergency powers?
We have had such tremendous success in our state relative to other states. I don't see a reason for that. The calls we have made have been very difficult, but they have succeeded. I'm not sure you want to go back and reform when you won the Super Bowl. And we've won the Super Bowl of this of the COVID pandemic. And the reason is we have saved tens of thousands of lives.
Where did you get that number? Tens of thousands. So we've saved at least 20,000 lives? Where is the data? That's just a completely made-up number that he has saved over 20,000 lives.
Decisions we have made, the decisions of business owners and families, means that tens of thousands of people are alive today. I'm not sure I want to reform a system that won the Super Bowl. So I don't see a reason for that today. But listen, we're always open to ideas. And I'm sure there will be things we learn as we look back at the science of this. And I'm willing to obviously learn.
He won the Super Bowl. Jay Inslee is the goat. We're the sheep. Okay, that's going to do it for us. The Tom and Curly Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. Have a fantastic weekend, and I will see you back here Monday, high noon. Hello.
How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.